KJAN Sports.
It's time to take a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. In women's college hoops, the Iowa State women outscored North Alabama 21-10 in the third quarter and then held off a late rally to pick up an 80-72 win in Ames last night.
Very impressed with North Alabama. I thought they played really hard. You're a senior-dominated team that went into Iowa City and played them down to the wire just like they did us today, so you got to give them a lot of credit.
That's ISU coach Bill Fennelly. The Cyclones led by 16 points before being outscored 27-19 in the fourth quarter.
We had a start of the fourth quarter that was not very good, partly our fault, but I think you got to give them a lot of credit. But proud of the way we finished the game, proud of the way we did the things we had to do. So it's a good win for us, good way to end the non-conference, good way to end 2019, and now it's time to play Big 12 basketball.
Ashley Jones led the Cyclones with 22 points and 16 rebounds.
It was pretty physical. All games are pretty physical, so just this game was a good step to prepare us for Big 12, so I think that will help us down the road.
Cyclones improved to 8-3 with that victory. In men's college hoops, top 25 play. Number one, Gonzaga over Detroit, 93-72. Sixth-ranked Baylor over Jackson State, 83-57. Number nine, Memphis beat Tulane, 84-73. Tenth-ranked Villanova over Xavier, 68-62. And number 20, Dayton, a 77-59 winner over North Florida. Gonzaga remains atop the Associated Press men's college basketball poll following a light holiday schedule. The Zags received 63 first-place votes from the 65-member media panel after having the week off. Second-ranked Duke and number three Kansas each had one first-place vote, with Oregon and Ohio State rounding out the top five. The Ducks moved into the top five for the first time since 2016-17 when they went to the Final Four. The Buckeyes dropped three spots after Sunday's loss to West Virginia. Sixth-ranked Baylor is followed by Louisville, Auburn, Memphis, and Villanova. Some other teams from our region include number 12 Michigan, number 14 Michigan State, Maryland is at 15 this week, Penn State is 21st, Texas Tech 22nd, Iowa moves up a couple of spots this week, Hawkeyes at 10-3 move up to number 23 in this week's top 25 men's poll. Iowa State is back in action tonight. They'll have a New Year's Eve contest at home against Florida A&M. A couple of sophomore guards will be on display as MJ Randolph and Florida A&M faces Tyrese Halliburton and the Cyclones. Randolph is averaging nearly 13 points over the last five games, while Halliburton has scored 21% of his team's points this season, averaging just under 20 over his last five games. Iowa State offense has scored 81 points per game this season, ranking the Cyclones 23rd nationally. Florida A&M's defense has allowed just 75 points per game to their opponents, and we'll see that game tonight. That's a 7 o'clock, make that a 6 o'clock tip time up in Ames. Iowa State at 7-4, Florida A&M 1-9. Another game we'll see tonight, Northern Iowa facing off against Illinois State in men's college hoops. For the Illinois State squad, they look for their fifth straight win over Northern Iowa at Red Bird Arena. The last win for the Panthers at Illinois State was in 2015. Northern Iowa's A.J. Green, Spencer Haldeman, and Isaiah Brown have collectively scored 45% of the team's points this season and have accounted for 44% of all Panthers scoring over the last five games. Northern Iowa's won its last three road games. Illinois State has won its last three home games, so something has to give. UNI is ranked second among Missouri Valley Conference teams, averaging just under 78 points per game. Again, that's this afternoon. That's a 2 o'clock tip time. Illinois State at 5-7, UNI 11-1, entering that contest today. Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey says a challenging December schedule has his team prepared for a return to the Big Ten race. The Hawkeyes are 10-3, and they'll play Penn State Saturday in Philadelphia.
Well, I think in particular it's going to help us on the road. I mean, that was the hope. I think we all hope that. I think just the mental toughness that you need to prepare for quality teams like that that are coming quick, it was boom, boom, boom. You know, flush that one, concentrate on the next one, get on a bus, get on a plane, go, and compete.
Iowa's been playing well despite season-ending surgery for two of their starters.
Since June, we've had our entire roster at practice one day. So that shows you, I think, the kind of toughness that this team has mentally. And I'm really proud of them, but we got 18 tough games coming up, and so we're not patting ourselves on the back. We're just staying focused and keep grinding.
Yeah, those tough games begin coming up here this Saturday. We'll have that game for you here on the radio from the Palestra in Philadelphia. Penn State hosting the Hawkeyes. That's a noon pregame start time. 1 o'clock is tip time. With the season over, three Iowa juniors must decide whether to return or to enter the NFL draft. Defensive end A.J. Epinesa, offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs, and safety Geno Stone are all getting feedback from the NFL Draft Advisory Board.
The information now is a little bit more in-depth and more probably accurate. And the only variable with all this stuff is nobody knows how many juniors are going to come out. Record number last year, it may be bigger, maybe smaller. But they have a decent idea at least of what the pool is going to look like.
That's Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz. He says the NFL is doing a better job of evaluating the younger players, and early entry is not for everyone.
In general, they'd much rather get a guy that's at least 4 years down the road where they're more mature. You can't compare NFL football to any other sport. It's just very unique, and unfortunately, most people don't understand that. People that are making those decisions sometimes. So you get there, and you're playing against a bunch of men, and it's a really hard, physical, long season.
Ferentz feels it's his job to get as much information as possible to his players.
It's like any trick is to get people to see the big picture and what have you. But I'll tell you, if a guy is just itching to leave, then they are better off leaving. It's the best thing for them. And, you know, and it's like recruiting. I tell every prospect, I'm not going to make a decision for you. I'm not going to pretend like it's my decision because it's not.
The deadline to declare for the NFL draft for underclassmen is January 17th. Well, Florida's passing game was overshadowed by LaMichael Perine as the sixth-ranked Gators won the Orange Bowl last night. Perine scored on a 61-yard run in the opening minute and carried 13 times for a career-high 138 yards as the Gators topped Virginia 36-28. He finished with three touchdowns and 181 total yards of offense after entering the game with just 538 yards on the ground this season. Perine also scored on a 10-yard run, caught a 16-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Trask, and was chosen the game's most valuable player. Florida ends the year 11-2 under second-year coach Dan Mullen and likely will finish in the top 10 in consecutive seasons for the first time since 2008 and 2009. Louisville rallied from a 14-point deficit by scoring 31 straight to beat Mississippi State 38-28 in the Music City Bowl. Michael Cunningham threw for 279 yards and two touchdowns for the 8-5 Cardinals, who were coming off a 2-10 campaign that led to the hiring of coach Scott Satterfield. Cunningham also ran for 81 yards, and Javian Hawkins led Louisville with 105 yards rushing, including a late touchdown. Chase Garbers threw four touchdown passes and ran for another score in leading California's 35-20 win over Illinois in the Red Box Bowl. Christopher Brown Jr. ran for 120 yards on 20 carries as the 8-5 Golden Bears won their first bowl game since 2015. Makai Polk caught five passes for a season-high 105 yards in Cal's third straight win. Freshman Corey Munson kicked a career-long 52-yard field goal with no time left after a rules review to give Western Kentucky a 23-20 victory over Western Michigan in the First Responder Bowl. The Hilltoppers drove 36 yards in 27 seconds before Munson kicked his third field goal in four tries. The clock had expired before the winning kick, but the Broncos were penalized for having 12 players on the field, and that gave Munson just the chance he needed to win it. Well, there are five bowl games on today's slate on this December 31st. The Belk Bowl at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina, gets the day started at 11 o'clock this morning Central Time as Kentucky faces off against Virginia Tech. The Sun Bowl this afternoon in El Paso, Texas, has Arizona State facing Florida State. That game kicks at 1 o'clock Central Time. The Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee, has Kansas State facing off against Navy. That's a 2:45 kickoff Central Time this afternoon. The Arizona Bowl out at Tucson is Georgia State facing Wyoming. That's a 3:30 kickoff Central Time. And tonight it's the Alamo Bowl at San Antonio, Texas, as number 11-ranked Utah faces Texas. That's a 6:30 Central Time kickoff this evening. Well, two of the worst teams in the NFC have made major changes a day after completing another losing season. Pat Shurmur has been fired after two seasons as head coach of the New York Giants. The Giants just finished a 4-12 season after going 5-11 in Shurmur's first year at the helm. However, the Giants elected to keep general manager Dave Gettleman despite the team's 9-23 record over the past 2 years. Co-owner John Mara says the decision to keep the 68-year-old Gettleman was based on giving him the chance to finish a major overhaul of the roster and the scouting system. The Washington Redskins team president Bruce Allen has been fired after 10 seasons. The Redskins went 62-97-1 with Allen serving as Snyder's right-hand man, a stretch that featured only two playoff appearances and zero postseason victories. Washington never won more than 10 games under Allen and just concluded a 3-13 campaign. News of Allen's dismissal came as Ron Rivera visited the Redskins about their head coaching vacancy. And Raiders guard Richie Incognito has signed a two-year, $14 million contract extension that includes $6.35 million in guaranteed money. The Raiders signed Incognito last offseason to a one-year prove-it deal to bring him out of retirement after a troubled past that included several suspensions, accusations of racism, and bullying and run-ins with police off the field. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.